the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Yesterday I was discussing with Katua Lowe because I read early in the day coverage of the fact that Danai van Niekerk, I think arguably South Africa's female best ever limited overs cricketer, perhaps cricketer in any format, had not been selected for the South African women's squad to play in the World Cup, which is happening shortly in South Africa. And the original coverage didn't, it just said that she hadn't achieved the required time for a 2 kilometer run, and that had disqualified her from selection. And it was only through Crick Info that we learned that she was slower by 18 seconds than she was required to be, despite the fact that it was her best ever time, and so she'd been able to achieve her remarkable achievements on the cricket field with both bat and ball. With not being able to run the required time, didn't seem to matter. And I was sent a link to an article which was written by my next guest, Firdaus Moonda, which it was written prior to the issue involving Danai van Niekerk, but it did reference Lizette Lee's problem of not being selected, which Cricket South Africa didn't explain, and then she explained that she'd failed a weight test. And it also looks at Hendrik Mangala, who's a South African who struggled a bit with weight and fitness, and then a West Indian player and a Pakistani player who've also not exactly met the template of what modern-day elite sports people should look like. Firdaus is ESPN's Crick Info South African correspondent. Firdaus, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You do quote people in the article who say, no, this is fair, that this is a good way of determining whether athletes have the raw fitness, the recovery energy and so on in order to play sport at an elite level. But my feeling is still, and you know, maybe it's a kind of, I don't know, maybe it's wrong, but I just feel that you should, okay, so she's 18 seconds slower than the 8 minutes and 40 seconds that she should have been to run the 2Ks. But you look at what else she can do, what else she has done, what else she brings to that squad, and you go, is that 18 second shortfall really sufficient to disqualify her for selection? Having done this work, having done the interviews that you've done, I mean, what's your answer to that question?
Yeah, I think it's so complicated because, as Greg King, who's a fitness trainer who's worked around the world, explains, that 2 kilometer time trial is not really about the 2 kilometers. It's about recovery, aerobic ability, cardiovascular ability, and all these things that are really important in modern sport. And then the converse to that is that, as you say, does it really matter, considering that she was running slower throughout her entire career and achieving some remarkable things? And then I want to throw something else into the mix, which is that the other players in the squad have all met the requirement. And so where does the exception get made? And one of the questions I asked someone this morning is, you know, should you make an exception for an exceptional player? And then what do the rest have to do in order to not feel that they're being judged unfairly? So I think Cricket South Africa have found themselves in a really complicated situation because they are applying the measure so rigidly, whereas they didn't do that before, and almost no other board does that, partly because they don't have to, because all the players are meeting the standard in England, in Australia, for example. But I also think it's because that standard should actually just be a guideline. And if someone is veering too far below or even too far above, then you need to watch their levels of fitness. Other than that, I think if they're good enough, they're good enough.
Yeah, and I do think exceptions should be made. And if this is her best ever time over 2Ks, and she managed to achieve what she has achieved for South Africa, not being able to run, running slower than 2 minutes and 58 seconds, 8 minutes and 58 seconds for the 2 kilometers, then that exception seems to me reasonable.
Yes, I would think so. I think what happened at Cricket South Africa is that they decided they're going to rigidly apply all their tests, which is the 2K time trial, the weight and skin folds test, weight as in body weight, and then the actual weight test, which is in terms of player strength. And when they decided that, they ended up in a situation where Lizelle Lee had not passed her body weight test, and they dropped her, and then she retired. So they sort of drew their line in the sand there. They then also left Sithandwe Magala out of squads because he wasn't making the 8:30 time. He was 13 seconds over at one stage. He subsequently made the time. I'm actually watching him bowl right now. So
let's hope he takes an English wicket. Goodness knows we need one after those three early ones. And now Jos Buttler and David Malan, both in the mid-90s. Yeah.
So I think when Cricket South Africa made this decision that they were not going to move this line, then they put themselves in a situation where they couldn't move it for Danae van Niekerk. And they tested her several times. Her last test was Friday, January 27. She has improved significantly. She's lost weight. She's fitter than she's ever been, but it's supposedly not fit enough for their standards. And, yeah, I guess this is a case of them shooting themselves in the foot. They're without her. They're without Lizelle Lee. Mignon Dupuis retired because she wants to start a family. Trisha Chetty's out because she's got a back problem. It's not as though South Africa have got a queue of female cricketers that meet the standards sort of running down the road, right? So they've got to pick the best they've got, and they haven't done that.
I'm sorry, I haven't been able to find the story, the link to the story that you wrote, which prompted us to call you and ask you to come and chat. But the Pakistani player and the West Indian guy, who I've only seen him play a couple of times, and I must admit that when I saw the size of him, I went, wow, that guy at that size is playing international cricket. And it felt a bit like this is before your time, but I know you're a keen student of sporting history, so you will know of Richie Kashula, even though you wouldn't have seen him bowl. And it, you know, it took us back to Richie Kashula times. But he was, you know, he was taking wickets and he was catching slip catches. And so you must look like this, otherwise you can't play elite sport. Well, how about examining the possibility that I can look like this and play elite sport?
Absolutely. And in fact, Rakim Cornwall, the West Indian that you mentioned, is the reason that I wrote the piece, because I watched him play and I was just amazed by what he could do. But I also felt, honestly, quite emotional and quite sad that people were body shaming and fat shaming him throughout his career. And he's why I started doing the research, and I wanted to find out more about it. He's actually quite unemotional when he discusses it himself. He doesn't really care what people think of him, and he's very self-accepting of his own body, which is in itself quite a unique thing. But I also spoke to a sociologist for the piece just to discuss body image in general, because I think as human beings, not just as athletes, we're quite conditioned to expect bodies, male bodies, female bodies, to look a certain way. And when they don't, we pass judgment on them. And I'm just not sure that that's correct. And I think we're too conditioned to think outside of that. So you automatically assume someone who doesn't meet these sportsmanlike norms can't achieve remarkable things. And we've seen that there are people who can do that. And I just want us to think about the body more broadly, including, honestly, our own bodies. Because one of the other things I do is that I'm a yoga teacher, and I'm always interested and amazed to see how people judge and very harshly perceive their own bodies before they actually think about the functionality of it. And so I think functionality is more important than form in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I have confessed on radio, so it's not as if I'm doing it just in the context of this conversation, that I have an appalling body image. I can't stand to see myself in a mirror. I can't stand to see my body reflected in shop windows as I walk past them. And I mean, I don't know the guy's name. He's an English player. He's playing for one of the SA20 sides. And again, when I saw him, I thought, wow, that's not the way that current elite cricket players are supposed to look. But he scored the game that I was watching. He scored, I don't know, 70 or 80 very, very quickly. So he quite clearly can do it.
Absolutely. I think that's the point, right? We have to just think outside the box a little bit. And also, I think it's a lot to do with what we expect of bodies. And so if we can change that perception and not say, well, we don't think so-and-so should look a certain way because of their profession, maybe it changes the way we see what people can do, which was really the point of the first piece I did. And it just so happened that it coincided with all these fitness tests and people failing them and body really being thrown into the spotlight. So I wasn't planning that, but it's happened that it's become such a talking point now. And for example, also, I think with Danae van Niekerk and Lizelle Lee, as women, it's affected them slightly differently because there's an added expectation and pressure as to what they are supposed to look like.
Yeah. anybody who's interested in the article that Fadoz wrote, I'm very, very happy to send you a link to it, because it's a very good contribution to this debate. Thank you very much for talking to us. Really appreciate it. ESPN's Crick Info South Africa correspondent.